The Gulf crisis started on April 20th with the BP explosion of their oil rig out in the Gulf. And prior to that, the center's work on offshore oil drilling had been limited to Alaska, where we are opposing all offshore oil drilling up there, and actually through litigation have been able to stop every single offshore drilling project proposed since 2007. And so when the Gulf crisis hit, we did not get immediately involved in the first couple days because it was not a traditional zone for us. We don't have an office down there. And we were waiting for some of the other environmental groups to kind of jump in and seize control of the messaging of this issue. And as the days went by, we got concerned because we felt like the media attention, the questions being asked, were really all about technology and safety procedures. You know, this was a technological failure, and there weren't enough safety procedures, and if we had better technology, better procedures, things would be fine. Whereas we felt like, while clearly there were huge technological problems and clearly safety procedures were not followed, the problem was much, much bigger and much, much more important than that, that the problem was really fundamentally about the failure of government to regulate and protect the environment, protect the public interest at any level at all. And secondly, that offshore oil drilling, especially deep sea drilling, is so inherently dangerous that there is no technological fix to this. It is just something we shouldn't be doing because we simply cannot control a blowout, much as we cannot control a catastrophe at a nuclear power plant if it occurs. So we decided to jump in about a week after the explosion to try to really get these messages out. And so we put together a team of people here internally of six people, and we had our best lawyers, our best researchers, and our best communications team, and we started researching what was actually going on in the Gulf. And what we very, very quickly discovered was that the agency in charge of the offshore oil drilling, the Minerals and Management Services, which is part of the Department of Interior, that this agency had completely exempted all offshore oil drilling from essentially all environmental laws in the Gulf. And there was just no regulation going on at all. And in particular, there's this loophole in our federal laws that allows the government to not do any environmental analysis by saying that a project is, quote, categorically excluded from review. And the purpose of that categorical exclusion is to prevent the government from wasting its time on tiny projects where you know there's not going to be any environmental impact. And the classic examples are building a hiking trail, building an outhouse, things like that, where there's no point spending time and money analyzing that because you know it's not going to be a problem. Well, what happened was the Minerals Management Services decided that all of this offshore oil drilling, including this BP project, should be pushed through that same loophole, be put in the same category as building an outhouse, and therefore there was no environmental review done on any of this. If you read BP's proposal for this exact project, you know, it says right in it, we are not going to analyze the impacts of a catastrophic spill because that's off the table in terms of anything that should be analyzed at all. And it wasn't just BP. It's essentially every single drilling project that happens out there. And also, these decisions did not just occur during the old, very oil-friendly Bush-Cheney administration, but it continued to happen under the current administration. And in fact, the permit approval for the particular BP project was given current administration. And that was another one of the things we really wanted to focus on jumping into this, was to say that this is not all just a legacy of a past administration. These are bad decisions being made today by this administration, and we can solve them by changing how this administration does business, not just by beating up on Bush and Cheney. So we began researching all this, documenting it, and then went out and did a series of explosive front page stories, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, in the McClatchy papers, just documenting how this agency was completely out of control at all levels and continued to be completely out of control under the current administration. And things really came to a head when we did a story on May 14th on page four on the New York Times, which really kind of chronicled all these problems. This had come after a series of stories you already did. The administration was already very, very embarrassed by its positions, and then this front page story from the New York Times. That was in the early morning. By 2 o'clock that day, Obama had called a press conference in the Rose Garden to respond to the New York Times piece and to bring Ken Salazar, the Secretary of Interior, there and try to assert that that they were aware of these problems, they were taking care of them, and that Salazar and Interior were doing a good job. And later that day, by the way, the Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary, called the New York Times and told them to stop working with the Center for Biological Diversity because we were embarrassing them too much. But that sort of really dug the administration a hole in a big way, because we had the president of the United States up there saying, we know what the problems are, we're not going to do it anymore. And then we continued to document, after that, new decisions being made to do new offshore oil drilling, exempt from environmental review. And in fact, that's still happening to this day. And so our work on that kind of media research side, I think, has been very, very successful to reframe the nature of the public debate to say what's needed here is not simply better, newer technology and better safety checklists. What's needed is a complete review, revamp of the entire way that we regulate offshore oil drilling, and eventually led to the firing of the head of MMS, Liz Birnbaum, and then ultimately the breaking up of MMS into a whole new organization. And we're not satisfied with that new organization, so we're continuing to push, but we've been very successful in really changing the whole way we manage offshore oil drilling, and I think that's going to play out in a long, long way. Then the other thing we really wanted to do there then was really go after the actual oil drilling that was occurring in the Gulf right now, even as we were waiting for this long-term process of rebuilding a whole new regulatory agency. And this is one place where I think our staff really shined. We have just an amazing crew of scientists and lawyers, all of who were cast to full-time to other things before this explosion happened, and who all volunteered to work double time on their normal day jobs and do all this Gulf work on top of it. And it was really quite incredible. We had their head of our public lands program, the head of our climate program, the head of our oceans program, several of the staff all really jumping in and just working 24/7, still working 24/7 to address these issues. So to date, we've done that by filing six different lawsuits. We've got a few more lined up that will be coming over the next month. One of the most important ones is that we sued BP for $19 billion for polluting water under the Clean Water Act. It's the biggest Clean Water Act lawsuit ever brought. And we brought that suit because the administration failed to do it. The administration, Department of Justice, should have brought this suit, but did not. So we jumped in on behalf of the U.S. government and filed that suit with our intent being to hold BP fully accountable for all penalties under the Clean Water Act and have that $19 billion used to restore the Gulf. When we found out that in the effort to burn off the oil, to get it out of the water, that BP was capturing sea turtles in the oil and burning them alive, and not allowing the fishing boat captains to save the turtles before the fires were set, we sued BP and the Coast Guard to stop that, and were successful. We got a good settlement on that where they have agreed to do so and have put in scientific observers and have stopped the sea turtle burning. We also filed suit against 49 different drilling projects in the Gulf that have been approved with no environmental review and are asking the court to stop all of them unless and until they do a full environmental review on that. And then we have sued over the entire Gulf of Mexico drilling program, which is authorized every 5 years, so we've sued the entire five-year program because of the impact on killing endangered species and marine mammals without having gone through any of the laws that you need to do, any of the reviews you need to do before a project could like that could take place. And then finally, we filed a number of administrative petitions as well, one of which is to list the bluefin tuna as an endangered species. The tuna is already in decline, already lost about 90% of its population due to overfishing. So we were considering listing as an endangered species prior to the Gulf spill. When the Gulf spill happened, it was just catastrophic because that's the most important spawning ground in the world for the bluefin tuna. And so we wiped out an entire year of reproduction for this species. So we filed that petition to get it protected. And then lastly, going back to our origins on offshore oil drilling, which is in Alaska, we really made a commitment to take all this interest and outrage about the Gulf and direct some of it up to Alaska so that we could completely and permanently shut down offshore oil drilling in Alaska. Right now, there's not much of that up there. Most drilling in Alaska is on land. So there's a real opportunity to just shut down the creation of this entire offshore program, which isn't very big up there yet, and extraordinarily dangerous. In many ways, ironically, or I guess tragically, the best place you could ever have offshore oil spill is in the Gulf of Mexico. You've got warm, relatively calm waters. You've got a massive oil industry infrastructure available to you. You've got hundreds of large fishing boats and skilled people available to you. You have the most resources you'll ever have to fight and clean up a massive oil spill. In the Arctic, you have none of that. You've got frigid temperatures. The sea is covered in ice most of the years. If a spill happens in the winter, it's pitch black. The nearest Coast Guard station is about 1,000 miles away from where they're wanting to drill. You just have nothing at all available to you up there, and you're in the most trying conditions possible. So this spill, as bad as it was, would be enormously worse were it to be in Alaska. So we have taken a lot of energy, went up to Alaska, got some whistleblowers inside the agencies to come out to talk about how things were just as bad from a regulatory perspective in Alaska as the Gulf, generated a lot of media, and ended up getting a moratorium on it's a temporary moratorium, but a moratorium on all offshore oil drilling in Alaska. Interestingly, in response to that, BP, with the consent of the current administration. Did one of the most cynical maneuvers you could ever imagine. What they said is, well, we want our big, new, completely untested, biggest oil drilling project in the world to proceed in Alaska because it's not offshore. And the reason it's not offshore is we've dumped a bunch of dirt in the ocean, and we've put our drilling rig on top of the dirt. And the drilling rig completely covers the dirt. You can't even see it. So we built this tiny artificial island, put our drilling rig on it, and now we're going to say it's not an offshore oil drilling project. It's onshore. And therefore, it can go forward, even though it's the biggest drilling project in the world, using a totally new and very dangerous technology in which they drill down 2 miles, then drill horizontally 8 miles out in order to reach from state waters into federal waters to do this drilling project. So we went after that as well, and through that, just through, again, getting a front page story in the New York Times, applying tremendous political pressure, getting our congressional allies to hold hearings on it in Congress, we got BP to actually agree to suspend that project for at least another year. So we've been really able to just completely shut down any new drilling in Alaska, which was one of our very biggest goals in all of this. So that's what we've done to date. This spill issue is still rolling despite the current cap and hopefully the permanent shutting down of the well in the Gulf. But we are going to keep on with this campaign while the public is riveted on offshore oil drilling to advance our proposals, which are to, one, cease the entire offshore oil drilling program in Alaska, two, end all new offshore oil drilling in America, and transition to a clean, renewable economy, which would allow us to actually slowly take out all offshore oil drilling entirely. Then three, rebuild an entire new oil management agency. We don't think what has been proposed by Ken Salazar to date is effective. I think Congress needs to step in and actually legislate the creation of a whole new agency to manage offshore oil drilling, and then finally ensure that all environmental laws are followed fully when any offshore oil drilling occurs. And so we will be keeping at that certainly at a pretty frenetic pace for the next few months, but at a pretty decent level likely over the next year or two.